So we are at the Cambridge Union with Kath Kidston, who has come up to Cambridge today to speak. Are you excited about your talk? Have you got it planned?
I haven't got it planned. I have no idea. I'm going to be asked questions, so I'll wait to see what comes up. But it's very nice to be asked.
Lovely to be asked. I mean, you were asked to come up last term as well, so people obviously wanted. Is that right?
Do you know, I know there were some dates bandied around, so I don't know. But anyways, obviously, very nice to be asked here.
Clearly people really want to hear it. So I'm going to start off with asking you, you must get asked all the time, what was your inspiration, your original inspiration, I'm guessing. So I'd like to ask, who was your main inspiration when you first started out your designs?
I don't think it was a who. It wasn't a who at all. It was about, I'd been working in interiors and in a different trade, running an interior design business, and it was really kind of I wanted to do something that had its own look and feel. I didn't want something that was commonplace in the marketplace. And when I came to start the shop, there was a real divide between simple contemporary design, and I think this was before brands like IKEA were really widespread. It was 1993, and there's this very formal kind of quite grand decorating style of our sort of parents' generation, my parents' generation. I thought, I really want to be able to do my own flat up in a way that is kind of a combination of old junk furniture and all this inexpensive stuff, but with that kind of joy of colour and sort of, I was quite influenced by Swedish design and by Italian modern decoration and things. So it was about my own recipe for something that was new, and it wasn't really taken from anywhere else. It was my own kind of way of taking all these different influences and putting them into a new pot.
Lovely. You just spoke about how you wanted to do up your own flat in this sort of way. And do you have your own house? Is it filled and decorated in Kath Kidston?
Yeah, my own house. I've got so much of my product in the house, but the way I use it, in many ways, like my kitchen, for example, in London, is a very plain, white, modern kitchen. If you open the cupboards, I've got all my different china, etc., all laid out. We've just recently done a brand book, because as a business grows, you have to articulate what the core of the brand is to a broader team. So trying to encapsulate what the brand means. And I love working with kind of vintage inspiration, but putting into a modern environment. So I like designing, I don't know, say for example, if I design a plate and it's got some amazing print on it, I kind of visualize that on a plain table. And yet there's different ways of working with things, but I like seeing my stuff in a contemporary way. So it's about layering all those things up. So my house is a real mix of everything from my granny sideboard to stuff I bought in car boot and house clearance to maybe something very contemporary. I mean, I love collecting 20th century and 21st century art. I love contemporary art. I love buying kind of and seeing all the new kind of things that are going on. So it's a real mixture for me of taking that vintage inspiration but mixing it with modern stuff that makes the look that I've... And that's how I think my house probably reflects that style.
Wow, that's interesting to know, because we were all thinking about, like, if we had our own businesses, like, how much would that, you know, impact on our own housing?
You have to be true to what you do and love what you do, don't you?
Exactly.
So, I still feel very passionate about what I design. So, yes, of course, I like using it and buying it and everything.
Yeah. And we were going to ask that, as the business has grown and massively expanded, how much of a role do you actively have in all the designs? Do you take the main role in all the designs that we see in the shops?
Absolutely. I'm creative director. My sort of title in the company now is I'm creative director and founder. I work very closely with a CEO who I love working with, who is very much a brand conscious CEO, who really values the roots of the brand and is interested in all of that, which is enormously helpful to me as founder. And so I spend 5 days a week pretty much either in the studios or with the teams building and creating ranges. And I would say still there's probably very few products that go through the business that haven't touched my kind of, you know, my kind of edit at some stage in the process.
So still got the decisive creative role.
But of course we have a bigger team now, and there's quite a broad creative team, so it becomes the thing where you're working in a team which is very nice, actually, working with a mix of people, different, you know, you'll have graphic designers, print designers, product designers, and all of that, so business grows bigger, which is kind of cool to have that feedback, so otherwise I used to be on my own, thinking, oh, is that nice or not, you know.
So, what is it about your products that makes women want to buy them, do you think? What is it? What is your selling point that women really... Because it is mainly women who buy your products. I mean, I was speaking to a group of guys at this event I was at, and they said they'd never been into a Cath Kidston shop, even though they're everywhere, you know? It's mainly targeting women. So what is it specifically about women that makes them want to buy your things?
Well, it's quite feminine, the print, but a lot of the print is quite feminine because the business has a very distinctive style and you can't cover across everything. You have to take a point of view. But interestingly, for example, in our children's categories, we sell pretty close equal boys to girls. So it just depends what the category is. So if we're designing like kids' pyjamas with, I don't know, spaceships on or bits, the brand can work for that. But I wouldn't have thought it was... We're often asked to do men's things within the... You know, like, would we like to license boxer shorts or men's ties or whatever? And I think you can't, as a brand, move into all those things. You have to stay focused.
So no intention of moving into a more male market?
No, I mean, I don't see that it's relevant. I don't think it's right for what we do. But I think it is about making things that's suitable for what we're doing.
Yeah. So your lines are obviously very focused on the homeware, and including products, baking, sewing accessories, things like that. And there has been recently, especially in environments like Cambridge, a lot of debates on gender, always discussed in the papers at the Union, for example. So why do you think there's been... Do you think, and if so, why do you think there has been a revival in these sorts of interests?
I don't think it's a gender thing. That we were just discussing in the office. We're having a vote about, in the, you know, I should say 10, 15 years ago, if we've got a lot of people who are married with kids in the office, we have men and women working there, taking a vote of who does the cooking at home. And there's way more men cooking these days than there used to be. Way more partners are the ones who love the cooking. So it's become much more equal. People might be watching all these baking programs on telly, but there's men and women. And it's become, I think, it's a far more phenomenal thing. But I wouldn't notice if it's the same. I mean, interesting, it's somewhere like, where in Kathmandu, where they do all the tapestry and the needlework, that's all men doing the needlework and women doing the cooking. But I think this mix of thing, what's it really about? And it's about, I think there's a resurgence of people. We're all, often it's people who are working really hard, have quite a sort of, you know, intense career, and we want to relax. And actually, there's nothing like going back to a bit of kind of making and doing and things to feel, you know, sort of to unwind. I mean, again, I was listening to this fantastic program on the radio the other day of describing in the West, we come back from work and we try and save time doing our cooking and we get the blender on to make everything quickly and we're doing everything with all these electric gadgets to speed up. And then in China, when you get home from work, you start chopping your vegetables and preparing all your thing by hand. And they consider the preparation of food, meditation and relaxation, and it's a way of breaking your day. And I think a lot of us are turning back to those things just as a way to break from the fast pace of the way we live. We're all so connected to social media, or everything's happening so fast, isn't it? And you want some things that slow you down and that feel, have a slight individuality and a hand feel. So it's kind of like, you know, I love things that are unique, and I love looking at craft and all that kind of thing that's got a hand feel. I'm very inspired by all of that. So I think it's much more about that than... It's not about going back to the kitchen sink and saying, you know, I'm going to be a 1950s housewife and I'm going to make everything. It's about actually valuing that time and enjoying it. And maybe we shouldn't overcomplicate things, because that's how I believe people emotionally react to it.
So you wouldn't say that it's an issue of separate spheres, as in women in the home, you know, cooking and cleaning, and men, you know, working? Because women, I mean, you're speaking...
Doesn't cross
to,
my mind that.
If you speak, about increasingly busy lifestyles, a lot of that is to do with women working now, as well as having to... Women who have
who fall under a lot of stress trying to manage the house often and work at the same time, but for you it's not an issue of separate space.
I don't think, Lynn, my experience is only with the people I know and the people around me, and I think we're becoming much more equal as a society in how we share our tasks, and that's the experience I see around. Obviously there's always challenges within the genders, there's always going to be, but as a company I don't design with that in mind. I design because I want things to be useful, practical, all the rest of it. I happen to like going to work and having a career, and I happen to like sometimes sewing the button on my trousers and having a sewing basket, and I don't think that takes me into a different place. It's just I'm a creative person, and so and it doesn't mean I can't have a business brain and be creative or whatever, but I think we should just kind of think of it as individual choice.
So what would you say to some critics who might suggest that your products contribute to a negative domesticated view of women?
Why? Really? Why? I don't understand why. I don't see that it has to be that.
Can we go to the last question, possibly?
Yeah, of course. Okay. So you've said that you don't have any intentions to tap into a more male market, but we were wondering what is next in the business? What's the next sort of theme or trend that you're going to follow?
Oh, we can't tell that because we're always working on the next thing. I'm just working now on autumn, winter 15, and there's a lot of it sort of technical stuff as you grow, and we've got fantastic new sourcing abilities and things like that. The main thing that we're concentrating on a business for now is Asia and the growth of the company in Asia and understanding the Asian market and what that means for us as a global business, because we want to obviously retain our core sensibility of design, but we need to also understand what it means as we become more global. So it's all about Asia at the moment, isn't it? I think I was just talking to my CEO, and I think we've got 4 more stores opening in Singapore in the next few months. And it's this kind of incredible thing to see the brand blossoming in Asia. So that's where it's all at.
Wow, really moving on and adapting to new cultures.
Yeah,
and that's
so.
New.
Right, learning a lot from them. They have an amazing. I mean, I adore going to Japan. My best thing is going to Japan and seeing how they merchandise and lay things out, and how they understand all the layers of business. So it's so interesting working with different cultures and bringing their concepts and their kind of way of thinking into what we do here.
Very exciting. Yeah. Thank you very much, Kath Kisden, for talking to us on CamFM today. It's been lovely to meet you, and good luck with your speech at the union.
Thank you very much.